We read sacred scripture this evening from the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. We read the first 21 verses. The sermon brought this evening is based on the verses 11 through 16 and then 20 and 21. 11 through 16 and then 20 and 21. Due to its length, I won't be reading those verses again. So I ask that you pay special attention to them as they are read. Ephesians 4 verse 1. This is God's inspired word. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Thus far we read from God's holy inspired word. May he bless the reading of his word. Let's ask him for a blessing upon the sermon. Heavenly Father, as we approach these verses from thy holy inspired word, we pray, Lord, that thou would be pleased to speak to us, to open up our hearts and our minds to receive them, that we might benefit, truly benefit from them, and indeed, in that way, grow in the grace and the knowledge of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. In him we pray. Amen. Beloved congregation, these verses that we are considering very importantly bring together all that the inspired Apostle Paul had set forth as to the theme of the book of Ephesians, and also as to the immediate context preceding the text. The theme of the book of Ephesians, and therefore the goal of the Church of Jesus Christ on earth, is to manifest her glory, which is the glory of Christ, her head, her husband, her Lord. And that glory is displayed and made manifest in the way of the Church, with each and every one of her members functioning together in fullness and growing unto spiritual maturity. This is why the Apostle Paul prayed for that fullness for the Ephesian church towards the end of chapter 3 in his pastoral prayer. This is why also the Apostle Paul exhorts the Ephesian church and every one of her members to keep the unity of the Spirit which she has in Jesus Christ, and to do so in the way of each member walking worthy of his calling. And this is also why the Apostle exhorts the Ephesian church and every one of her members to use her many and different diverse gifts. Gifts given by the ascended Christ himself for her unity, for her edification, for her growth and her strengthening. And now, how all this is going to be realized is going to be through that one main gift that is emphasized in these verses that we are considering. And that one main gift of the ascended Lord to his church is the word ministry of the church. Now, if that all sounds a little bit too complicated, if that all sounds a bit too abstract, then consider with me for a few moments an earthly analogy. Think here of an aircraft carrier with each and every one of her crew members on board. And now consider this question. How is that aircraft carrier with every one of her crew members going to be an effective fighting, effective and improving fighting unit and force of good for her nation? The answer? In the way of each and every one of those crew members, be it a pilot, a cook, a storeman, a radar control officer, a gunner, every one of these crewmen doing their part, functioning and improving in each of their different roles and responsibilities, doing so as one, in harmony and in unity, through the orders and instructions of the one captain of that aircraft carrier, the captain of that ship. That's how. Well, beloved, the captain of our salvation is none other than Jesus Christ. And if you like, the captain of the church is none other too than Jesus Christ. It's our ascended Lord, and he is pleased to minister his word to his church on earth through a very important means. And that means is the word ministry of the church. primarily through her pastor, teacher, but also through the man who is constantly, or men who are constantly behind the pulpit. The word ministry of the church. It is through this word ministry that the ascended Lord realizes his goal for her, which is for her to display his glory, to do so as an active, healthy, vibrant church with each and every one of the members functioning in fullness, functioning together, and growing in spiritual maturity. So I call your attention to the word ministry of the church this evening. We'll notice in the first place that this is a vital and essential ministry. We'll notice in the second place its lofty goal. And we notice in the third and final place our confidence in this word ministry. The word ministry of the church is a vital and essential ministry. But first things first, let us be convinced here that it is this word ministry that is in full focus and view as set forth in these verses. So for starters, then we consider the very first verse of the text, which is verse 11. I'll read that verse once again. And he gave, the ascended Lord did, he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So the question from that verse is this. What exactly did he give? What did he give? Most directly, a quick glance at this verse, and we'll answer perhaps more straightly that, well, the Lord gives men. Men who are office bearers. Or he gives special officers to the church as listed here in this verse. That is what is being given. And to be sure, that is a technically correct answer. But it's an answer that's only skin deep. We go deeper. We ask ourselves the question, what is the one thing that is found in common with all these verses, and therefore the one thing that is being emphasized by the Spirit? What is that one thing? The Word. Is the word ministry being brought by all these men in these special offices? It's the word ministry of the church. Now here a concise explanation of verse 11 is in order. Apostles, prophets, and evangelists were of course special officers of the church, but only and during a very limited and peculiar time in the church. The time of the church transitioning from the Old Testament to the New. Just that short period of time. Recall with me that the Old Testament special officers were that, of course, of the Old Testament prophet, priest, and king. And it was the Old Testament prophet who brought that word ministry of the church to the Old Testament church. Now, of course, in the New Testament, we all know that the special offices of the church are that of minister, elder, and deacon. And that it is the minister or the pastor teacher, using the language of the text before us tonight, the minister or the pastor teacher who brings the word ministry of the church to the church. But you see, beloved, while the church was transitioning from the Old Testament into the New Testament, the Old Testament officers were also in transition to the New Testament officers. not suddenly and abruptly, but in the way of these transitory, temporary, special offices of apostle, prophet, and evangelist. Prophets and evangelists being assistants to the apostles, who were very limited in number, in bringing that word ministry of the church to the church that was in transition. But now that we are in the New Testament, now that we are fully transitioned into the New Testament, the word ministry of the church falls on the pastors or pastor teachers of our text. Now, to be sure, the text does say some pastors and teachers, but let's understand here that we are not talking about two different groups of persons and two different offices, pastors and teachers. It's not that. The reference here is to just one group of persons, one office, that of the pastor teacher. Pastors and teachers, the sense of the "and" there is who is pastors, who are teachers. Pastors shepherd their flock in the way of teaching and preaching. That's who they are. And so it's the pastor teacher, the apostle, the prophet, and the evangelist, all these officers who are God's ordained officers and means to minister His word to His church on earth. And that is absolutely important. This ministry is vital and essential for the church. And the Holy Spirit impresses that upon us in the text in four main ways. The first way would be this. Let's notice here that this is the gift of the ascended Lord Himself. Verse 11 starts out that way. And He gave. He, the context being verses 7 through 10, is in reference to Christ our Lord, and Christ our Lord as the ascended Lord. He gave, the supreme, exalted ruler of heaven and earth, sitting at God's right hand, gave this word ministry to the church. Boys and girls, are you listening? If the president of this nation were to come to you and to give you something, to give you a gift, would you not regard that gift as important? You would. So much more than the gift that comes from the supreme exalted ruler Himself, who holds the hearts of kings and rulers throughout the earth, the all-wise one, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He gives, the ascended Lord does, the gift of the word ministry of the church. And that all by itself makes this gift absolutely important, vital, and essential. That becomes clear in a second way when we call to mind the very nature of what is being given. This ministry is the word ministry of the church, is the very word of God. The word being ministered to here is the word, and it is spiritual food and fuel for the soul. And we know how earthly food and fuel is absolutely vital and essential for earthly living, don't we? This point is made rather strikingly in our day and age with record high inflation. 40-year record high of inflation. Inflation of everything, but especially of food and fuel. Now made worse by the war in Ukraine, so that the grain supply is diminished. There's an inflation because there's a limited and dwindling supply. And even though there's a limited and dwindling supply, there's a constant demand for the commodity. That's why the prices go up. They're still going to go up and up. Supply is down, demand stays the same. And so we ask the question, why is the demand the same in spite of skyrocketing prices? It's because food and fuel is absolutely vital and essential for earthly living. Well, so also spiritual food and fuel. The Word of God is vital and essential for the church. The eternal Logos and Word Himself is no longer here on earth to minister that Word. And so He gives these officers and men in these officers to minister His Word to His church. His dear, precious, blood-bought church. The church which needs to continually feed on the bread of life, the eternal Word, by faith. The church which needs continually to feed not just on bread, earthly bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God's Word. God's Word is vital and essential, and one chief and important form of it is that of the preaching and teaching ministry of a pastor. The third way in which the Holy Spirit brings out the vital and essential character of the word ministry of the church comes out of verse 14, and that it is necessary for the church's safety and preservation. Note verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Fact is, beloved, that the Church of Jesus Christ on earth through every age faces dangers and threats. And in particular, dangers and threats from men, deceiving men, cunning men who speak a lying doctrine, who is out to harm the church, hurt the church, and even destroy the church. With that being the case, how important the word ministry of the church is. In general and at all times, but especially in relation to this need. To keep the church in safety. To keep the church preserved. To keep the church focused and united in truth, in faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and in love. That's the third way in which the vital and essential character of the word ministry comes forth. Then the fourth and final way in which it comes forth is found in the church's need and calling to grow. And that comes out of verse 15. That verse reads, but speaking the truth in love, more on that later, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Notice the order here. First, safety and preservation, and then growth. A constant, prevailing, good and clear word ministry is vital and essential to stabilize a church through troublous times, and is needed further for the church and her members to have and to enjoy growth. And that's so important for the health, the vitality, and life of the church and her members. The reason for that? Well, the reason for that is brought out in verse 16. It's a lengthy verse, but pay attention to the number of times the word body is used, and think of the idea of the organism coming up from these verses. Verse 16, this verse, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase. The idea of growth is there once again with that word increase. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The reason for the church's calling and need to grow is that she is a living organism. She is a body of Jesus Christ. Now, she's being likened to a human body there in that verse. But the church is the body of Jesus Christ. She's a living organism. She's not static. She's not dead. She's a living organism. She breathes. She moves. She lives. And if she is to be healthy, she must grow. Parents with me, especially young parents, wasn't so long ago for me that I was a young parent. Parents with me, perhaps nothing would be more alarming for you when you pay a visit to the doctor, the doctor's office, bringing your child in for measurements, and you find your doctor reporting to you that your child is not growing, stunted, or worse, reversing in growth. You would be very concerned, wouldn't you? That would not at all be good. Growth is necessary for a healthy, living organism. That's true of an earthly organism and earthly growth. And that's true of a spiritual organism and spiritual growth. And what's needed for growth is good, healthy food. Not junk food. Good, healthy food. And a constant, continual supply of it. That needs to be there, needs to be part of the church, life of the church, a good word ministry of the church with good doctrine, preached with good balance, with a good tone, in a good spirit, is necessary for the church to be healthy and to grow. How vital and essential, therefore, is the word ministry of the church. And all, you understand, beloved, unto a lofty goal. What is that lofty goal? The goal of the Church of Jesus Christ on earth is to manifest her glory, which is the glory of Christ, her head, her husband, her Lord. And to do so in the way of the church, with all her members functioning in full positive capacity. We break that goal down into three parts. First part of the lofty goal is a church with members growing, not static, but growing, growing unto full spiritual maturity. Part two, members themselves ministering God's word of truth in love one to another. That's found in verse 15. And therefore, number three, in that way, a church with all her members functioning in full, at full capacity. So first things first, part one, a church with all her members growing unto a full spiritual maturity. And that comes out of the verses 12 and 13. Let me read those verses again. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There's a whole lot there once again, but focus on the word perfect. Or the two forms of the word perfect appearing twice. Verse 12, the perfecting of the saints, or my translation, in order fully to equip the saints. And then unto a perfect man, my translation there, unto a mature manhood. Understand here that the idea of perfect for life on this side of the grave is not glorification and sinlessness. It isn't that. Glorification and sinlessness is for life on the other side of the grave. The idea of perfectness for life on this side of the grave would be that of a fullness of spiritual maturity. And while we're all traveling on the road upward and onward to our glorification and sinlessness, the approach of the church to that point is through her calling to grow. And to grow unto a fullness of spiritual maturity. That goal of a full spiritual maturity flows out of Paul's pastoral prayer towards the end of chapter 3. And now, this is where the word ministry of the church comes in. That word ministry of the church is the chief means that Christ gives to the church for every member of the church to grow. To grow and to grow continually unto a fullness of spiritual maturity. And to do so in the way of using members, using those gifts they have been gifted in service to the body, so that we are here therefore called to a continual growth and development process by God Himself. That being the case, beloved, how are you doing in this growth and development process? Are you growing? Would you say that you are growing spiritually at this time in your life? Are you making progress in the Christian life? And are you focused on making that progress? And therefore, are you focused on this calling of yours given to you to grow? Are you focused on the word ministry of the church that's being brought to you from the pulpit Sunday after Sunday? Or are you focused on something else? Are you backsliding? Are you pursuing some other ambition and goal? It's easy to be distracted. It's easy to lose our spiritual focus. It's easy to lose our way here with regard to this calling to grow and develop in our Lord. The key here unto this spiritual focus is to remember the way in which our ascended Lord ascended. And what's the way in which our ascended Lord ascended? It's the way of love. A love that gave himself to increasing suffering, descending in the depths of suffering and humiliation, descending and descending all the way to that greatest agony on the cross of Calvary. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves me. This same one who gave his life for you, who ascended in the way of descending, who ascended in the way of love, is in control of all things in your life. Don't get distracted by discouragements. Don't be discouraged in your life. He's in control. And it is also this one who bids you and who bids me to have a focus on his word and grow. Grow and develop in the grace and knowledge of your Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. In short, thankful love to God in Christ is the way to maintain focus in our calling to grow as Christians and as members of this church. Thankful love to God in Christ is the key, and thankful love to God in Christ ought also motivate each one of us towards a fullness of spiritual maturity. And all who are also thus motivated will also share in the second part of the lofty goal of the word ministry, which is this: members themselves ministering God's word of truth in love one to another. And that comes out of verse 15 rather directly. But speaking the truth in love may grow up, and etc. Who is to speak the truth in love here? The reference here is not directly to preachers, but to you, members of the Ephesian church then, and members of the church at Hudsonville here today. Couple of points here, both in relation to the word ministry of the pastor teacher. First one being this: how important it is for the pastor teacher, the one ministering the word off the pulpit, to preach and to speak the truth in love. Do that continually, constantly, and consistently. For you see, go wrong here, and we shouldn't be surprised at all that the fruit of such preaching is going to be speech following the same wrong and wretched character of the preacher. He who preaches in harsh, hard, and bitter tones, he who preaches slanderously, who preaches in a backbiting way, who preaches rashly, ought only expect to hear that same kind of rotten speech among the congregants which he pastors. But on the other hand, he who continually preaches the truth in love and sincerity, may with a good conscience look forward to wonderful blessing from the Lord. Members who speak and minister God's word of truth amongst themselves in love, speaking at the right time, speaking at the right place, speaking in observance of the church order, bringing a word fitting for the occasion. And beloved, only more good things are going to come out of that kind of speech and conduct and environment in the church. All kinds of good things, including this, speaking the truth in love to those outside of the church, in other churches, other Christians, and also to those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. What a sight to behold. What a wonderful thing that is. And so second, how encouraging this is for the one who ministers the word from the pulpit from Lord's Day to Lord's Day. What wonderful encouragement from the Holy Spirit to behold these fruits of the word ministry. And what wonderful wisdom of God this is, that this is the second part of the lofty goal of the word ministry of the church found in these verses. It is in this way that the third part of the lofty goal of the word ministry of the church is realized more and more. And it is this, a church functioning at full capacity with every, and I do mean every, young or old, boys and girls, men and women, every member of the church fully focused, fully engaged, and fully functioning and involved in the life of the church. That point is well made in verse 16 by the word every that's repeated in that verse. Once again, verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The church, the body of Jesus Christ, is likened here unto a human body, with every part of the human body, every joint, every bone, every part, symbolizing the member, a member of the church of Jesus Christ. Every member's pictured here, symbolized here, and every member is gifted with different gifts and different measures of those gifts. Church is called, members are called to play a part in the body towards its increase and growth, so that the sum total of the parts and members of the church is far greater than a straight addition of the members all together. A church that is active, healthy and vibrant has members of the church fully engaged in the life and service of the church. Beloved, such a church is not only unified and dwelling together in unity, she's thriving. And she's a great place to be a member at. Dear congregation, do you not know something of this as your experience at Hudsonville Protestant Reformed Church? And do you not want more and more of it? We may be confident in these things, beloved, but let's understand that our confidence in these things and in a faithful word ministry of the church, let's understand what our confidence is not and is. From a negative viewpoint, our confidence lies in no arm of flesh. Let not the congregation put her confidence in the pastor teacher himself. And let not the preacher put his own confidence in his own ability, his own wit, his own intelligence, or in short, in himself. The preacher and the congregation which does these things will only yield and reap sad results, if not immediately, then most certainly in time to come. Now our confidence in the positive fruits and realization of the lofty goal of the word ministry of the church is in the able God of our salvation through our ascended Lord Jesus Christ. First, our able God of salvation. And that's how the apostle led into this practical section of the book. Chapter 3, the final two verses of chapter 3 would be the wonderful doxology of that able, super, hyper, able God of our salvation. All praise be unto Him and His great, great ability. That's how the Ephesian Christians were led into chapter 4. But more specifically, in particular, it is through the ascended Lord Christ Himself, who Himself is pleased to speak through a weak, lowly, sinful, earthen vessel. A vessel He's ordained, the pastor teacher, but nonetheless a weak, frail, sinful, earthen vessel. And that comes out in the verses 20 and 21. But ye have not so learned Christ, writing to the Ephesian church, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus. Well, these verses explain the confidence that a faithful preacher and his congregation, he pastors, has. It's in the ascended Christ Himself. The Ephesian church and Christians, around the year AD 60 or so, that's when the book of Ephesians was written, and 30 years or so after the ascension of Jesus Christ, heard Christ speaking to them, was taught by Christ Himself. That one who is unchanging in all of His being and ways ministers to His church here on earth in the same way today. The ascended Christ, our Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today and forever, is pleased to speak through the pastor, teacher of the church, bringing the word ministry of the church to the church. Truth it is that the ministry of God's word is indeed a precious, precious gift to the church from her ascended Lord. And when that word is preached faithfully, The voice of Christ himself is heard through the ministry of the Spirit. May it be so from off this pulpit, more and more, and may it be so also from all the pulpits of our churches. And may He be gracious and bless us mightily through the word ministry of the church. Amen. Father in heaven, bless this word. We are thankful for it. And we are thankful for the wonderful gift of the word ministry of the church. Thou who art all powerful, art pleased to give to us blessings through means, weak, even weakest means, to fulfill thy good and great will. We marvel at thy ways, and we marvel at thy gracious and merciful and loving ways unto us. Bless us, Lord, and bless this word to our hearts and minds. For Jesus' sake, amen.